government in its election interference activities. We did not address collusion, which is not a legal term. Rather, we focused on whether the evidence was sufficient to charge any member of the campaign with taking part in a criminal conspiracy, and it was not.
All right, that's just part of Mueller time that got started 37 minutes ago in Washington. Lucky when this lines up, when we have something like this going on, and we have our buddy Jeff Poor from Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and of course the host of the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN Radio in Huntsville to talk more about it this morning. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on today. Okay, so it's the Mueller testimony, Mueller testifying today. Dalton and I have our theories, and I don't think we're far off the mark, that this is way more about people getting on the record to say something to use in a campaign ad down the road than it is trying to find out anything that we don't already know.
Well, maybe, but I also think it's probably perhaps the opportunity to have your own Rorschach test, right? To find what you want to see out of this whole Mueller shenanigans and perhaps pursue impeachment. The Democrats control the House. So I kind of think it's going to be whatever you want to make out of it. It's one of those kind of situations.
So when Mueller, how long ago has that been? A month or two? Gave his presser. That wasn't enough to get the Democrats to get rallied up for impeachment. But today will be?
I've said this 100 times. These congressional hearings are meaningless. How many times during the Obama administration when the Republicans had control of the House? Oh, this time we're going to get Hillary. They got the special select committee on Benghazi.
Mm-hmm.
Or Fast and Furious. Yep. Or the Lois Lerner IRS stuff. It's the same thing over and over again. It's the same thing this time. The only thing this time is the Democrats are crazy enough to vote for impeachment.
Jeff, we know what the Democrats are looking for with this hearing today. They want to, catch the president red-handed or have Mueller officially say that he thinks the president should be, charged or something like that. But what are the Republicans trying to get out of this hearing?
They're looking for something on the other end. And I think this is a stretch, too, to get is, how did the investigation start? Perhaps they want to look at who Robert Mueller hired and why he hired these individuals, but I do think there's the right is looking at this from the other side, who laid the tracks for this special counsel and why are we criminalizing political activity and the whole talking points from the last 2.5 years.
So okay, what happens when, first of all, what's your guess over under, how long does this go on today?
Oh, it'll go on for a little while. He's preparing for the House Judiciary Committee and the Intel Committee, so we'll get another round of this. And I think the first one will be maybe up until lunchtime, and then the other one's, this afternoon?
So, okay, we've got hours upon hours upon hours of grandstanding and repetition. It may, like you said, be the catalyst the Democrats want to move forward with impeachment, or it may be nothing. But what is it? Does it move the needle? Does it move the needle looking at 2020? Because I've seen, it's like the whole, Dalton and I've talked about the last couple of days, that they're reporting now the president's racist tweet. They're not reporting that it's a tweet that some people think is racist. They've just moved to defining it as a racist tweet going forward. That, even with all that narrative, the president's approval rating actually stayed steady or came up. Do Democrats think this is going to do the damage to Trump? I mean, I don't. If nothing else is stuck, something this convoluted, I don't know how it affects polling numbers going in for going into the presidential cycle.
I think it's a means to an end. It's not that these hearings themselves will provide any kind of move. Everything is baked in, no matter what happens. Everything is baked in. You really love Trump or you really don't like Trump, right? But I think these hearings they'll key in on something that Mueller says or didn't say or, whatever, and they'll try to pivot that to impeachment. I think with Jerry Nadler, head of the Judiciary Committee, they got to pursue impeachment. Think about this. I may have said this before. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Crosstown in the Bronx, right? That's her congressional district from Jerry Nadler. And she ran hard left and defeated Joe Crowley, who had been in the Congress forever. So Nadler's looking at this, and he's thinking, I don't want to be primary to my left. I got to play ball with the lefties and the progressives, and part of that includes going after Trump to the nth degree.
Now, that's true whether you're Nadler trying to defend that seat or you're one of the hopefuls for 2020. You look at the Biden effect where, you know, Biden, God forbid he would be painted as a moderate against that field. He tried to swing for the left and maybe missed. That whole movement, one part of me says, okay, listen, the president's doing a great job right now of linking the squad, making the squad emblematic of the entire Democratic Party. The people of the nation are seeing how far the left the party is going. They're going to push back. But you and I have watched enough primaries. If you're a Republican, you go right in the primary. If you're a Democrat, you go left in the primary. I mean, that's just the way the game's played. But it does, how far left they're going now seems to be new territory.
Well, here's the problem. There's really two things going on in the Democratic Party. There is a lot of division. And don't be fooled by the media. Don't be fooled by what you read. Watch what these caucus meetings that Nancy Pelosi has once a week, and sort of the frantic nature of members after those caucus meetings. There is a clear division in the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives. Now, the presidential candidates aside, I think that's more about personalities and the divisions there. But let's focus on Congress, and that what's at stake is just how aggressively are they to pursue Trump. And we already know about the squad and the Nadlers and some of these others. But on the opposite side of that, there are a handful of members that won, there were Democrats that won in Trump districts in 2018. They are a little apprehensive about this path that the Democrats are taking and going toward on with regards to impeachment and the reasoning, and they think that could imperil them in the 2020 elections. So there are divisions inside the Democratic Party, not just what you see on the presidential stage. And the only thing that's really holding all of this together is the hatred for the big bad orange man in the White House. But at some point, not even that is going to last, you know? So I think there are problems in the Democratic Party, and their hope is that this Mueller hearing will unify the Democrats so they can charge ahead against Trump.
When do you think Democrats that you just discussed that would be worried about that would distance themselves going into 2020? When would they have their presser or have something that they vote on with the president or something to say, oh, well, I'm not like all the rest of the far left of this party? When do they start trying to get their time in the spotlight?
It just depends on which way things go. I mean, Trump could take a nosedive and do something completely stupid and be like, we didn't like Trump all along. It's kind of like when Trump became president and everyone decided he was the most popular politician in Alabama, and then all of a sudden every Republican in Alabama is trying to ride Trump's coattails. But where were they before the 2016 election where we didn't really think that he was going to win? Was there anybody out there banging the drum? I mean, there were a handful, Barry Moore, a state rep, and Jim Ziegler, and folks like that. But there was nobody riding the Trump horse like they are now in Alabama politics. Well, the same applies to the Democrat side, right? That they're, you know, Trump, I mean, Trump could, you know, do something completely crazy, lose everybody, and then you would have a situation, well, I told you so's, and we tried. Or he could just kind of maintain the status quo, have a shot at reelection, and then you're in that, you got to answer that question, and maybe it comes with a campaign ad or something along those lines. But right now, as things are, the status quo, there are real divisions between the different factions within the Democratic Party.
Jeff, you said it would take something incredibly stupid for the president to lose a large number of his base, but right now he seems bulletproof. I mean, if the tweets from last weekend didn't bring down his polling numbers at all, what would it take? And also, do you think he's playing this politically the right way by putting the squad front and center for the Democrats?
I do. What would it take? Your guess is as good as mine. You would have to lose some of the heavy hitters, I think, in the Republican Party. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen. The Kevin McCarthy's, and I don't know, it would take something probably worse than the Access Hollywood Billy Bush weekend, because now that he survived that, Republicans are a little apprehensive about leaving Trump. So it would take something major, but I mean, this is Donald Trump, so who knows? It's hard to say.
All right. We come back from the break, Jeff. I want to talk more about what's going on back here at home. Speaking of people getting on a subject, but maybe before they weren't, it sounds like anybody who's running for the Republican primary in Alabama is now talking about the toll and opposing the toll. And also, the big news flash this week that wasn't a news flash to you or us or anybody else of Senator Shelby and federal money for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. We continue with Jeff next. 822 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by our buddy Trey Bennett. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Okay. You got junk at the house. You got junk at the storage. I'm not saying you, but just the ubiquitous you. Gets junk out in the yard. Wherever you got junk, you got it at the office. Maybe you got to get space cleaned out. Maybe you might happen to have 7 metal file cabinets at your business and you've gone all digital. Just saying that might happen. If you're in that situation, why don't you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK and get rid of them? My buddy Trey has been working in Mobile and Baldwin counties now 11 years with his business, getting junk gone. You've probably seen the truck in your neighborhood. Get them to your house now and get that cleanup and organization done before you get started with the new school year or getting off on the right foot for fall. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Continue our conversation with Jeff Poore as we're enjoying Mueller time up in Washington. But I want to kind of bring it back here to Alabama. And first of all, I want to point out, as people have jumped on board the toll discussion, whether they be getting it right or wrong in the state, one guy who's at the other end of the state who gets it the way we get it down here, that's Jeff Poore, because he's number one, the man spent more time than I know anybody else in Alabama, in every county in Alabama, but also he's got roots here in South Alabama, and he's talking toll up there. But toll is now the subject, right? I mean, Roy Moore campaign sends me an email the other day talking about how much they're against the toll and how much they want to come talk about it. That doesn't feel grassroots to me, man.
It doesn't, but you need that. If you're against the toll, even if it's phony support, I think it's better than no support.
Sure,
and
sure.
You're forcing Aldott. You're forcing their hand. You're perhaps forcing the governor to do something. Nobody will really. It may be a little tacky to hitch your wagon to this, but to this cause. But I think if this is your cause, it's still important to have those guys on your side.
Oh, as a person against a toll, I would hope they would be on that side. But I hope it would, I don't know, it would come organically. Somebody would ask
for
them
the right reasons and all that.
No, yes,
it's politically expedient. And
sure,
that's politics. I mean, it's like winning for the right reasons, Sean. It's like when Auburn runs back a touchdown off a missed field goal.
Here we go.
Win for the right reasons, but they still won. So you need that support, and don't worry about how they got there.
He had to go. He went there.
He did.
Right now, I'm being nice. I'm going to be nice.
He didn't say kick six.
No,
he did not
you
say
did,
those
though.
Words. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, talk to me in October. See how y'all do with your Vols.
Yeah, Jeff, we know that you're a man of the people up there in Birmingham and up there in Huntsville. And we know what the state media thinks of the toll bridge down here after talking with Bill Britt from AL Reporter earlier this week. But what are the common people in Huntsville and in Birmingham saying about this toll project?
Okay, first of all, no one's as ill-informed as Bill Britt was on that Sunday broadcast of the V. I would just say conflating the two bridges, the Orange Beach Bridge, and not even Dale Jackson, who is my boss here at WVNN, is that confused about all this. the worry for the people in Alabama about this is, look, this is the guinea pig. This is that test case, right?
Yep.
And if it works in Mobile, guess what's coming to the rest of the state? More of these P3s, more of these public-private partnerships. Now, maybe it's not a situation where they decide to toll existing roads and force people to pay a toll, but it could mean more toll projects around the state. And in some ways, in some places where it works, and it's a good thing. In some places, it might not be a good thing. But the reason why we need to pay attention to this in the rest of the state, well, two reasons. First of all, the reason I just gave you is there could be more of these. And the second reason is this Chris Elliott, Senator Chris Elliott bill, where he wants to take the GoMesa money and do the tax credits and whatnot. There's nothing that explicitly says GoMesa money has to be used in coastal Alabama. And
I know, and that's a raw deal in my opinion, but I'm a homer.
You're never going to, and I'm going to have him on the show, and I'm going to try to talk to him about this, but you're never going to get the Alabama legislature to agree that with this, I think. I think that's a little bit, little wishful thinking there, because they're going to think, oh, well, just give us this pot of money to reimburse for the tolls in South Alabama, and that money that could be used for other things in the rest of the state, too bad, right? That's the problem. Maybe it gets through the Senate with Del Marsh. Del Marsh has passed a lot of bills in the last year. It's dead on arrival. The education, the Terry Collins types that are all education or nothing, they're never going to let this get through committee. I think it dies in the House.
You know, this is one of these things. This is how the political game is played. And you look at it nationally, why it's important. I've always argued when people say, we need to, you know, somebody wants to go to Washington and tell them all off. I'm going to be the freshman congressman or senator. I'm going to tell them all off. And I go, well, tell me how that works for us. You know, well, the game is played this way. That's also at a state level that either it is a indictment on the contingent from South Alabama or just a description of those representatives from elsewhere, that we can't put together coalitions, that we can't find something that maybe applies to somebody in the Wiregrass or West Central Alabama, or to put something together to be able to move some, you know, that's how politics is done. The South Alabama contingent should say it's wrong that the Gomesa money, you know, is we're not going to be able to use it for our own, and you've got this issue over here and we'll vote with you if you do this. I mean, that's how the game's played.
I mean, it's played like that to a certain degree. I mean, that's how they got the gas tax through. You know,
that's because they're taxing the people. I'm talking about taking money that's already coming into the entire state. And the opposite of what happened with the BP money is what I'm talking about.
And perhaps there's a point there. But how, you know, I don't see that. I don't see any kind of framework for that, for a coalition. I just see an idea from Chris Elliott. I will say this about Chris Elliott. Who else is out there that's kind of pro-bridge or pro-some kind of toll out there talking about it?
No, he said the other day, he said he's against the toll. I mean, I asked him two different times.
Right.
He said he's against all tolling. But I think it's, and people are impugning him because he's saying, hey, here's what we could do if they push this through. At least he's got an idea. I mean,
at least he has something. And every door I go and knock on to go talk to people to try to get something, they'll talk to me off the record, but they are terrified to talk about this issue on the record. The one thing to his credit is at least he's out in front of this and he's giving the people something.
Yep.
It may not be the answer they want, but at least it's something. And I think there's a I wrote about this in Land Yap last week. There's a real void there of any kind of leadership in Mobile taking this issue and being in front of it, and that's where you have this vacuum where somebody like a Jim Ziegler fills it.
Yep.
And builds a 35,000 strong Facebook group and can maybe use that to do something else politically in the future.
Like, what do you? I got 1 minute left. What do you think that might be that he would do with that?
I think he's got to run for House of Representatives. He may be a one-trick pony, but this it would be he has nothing to lose, right? He's still a state auditor, and he has a shot at the runoff. He could run on this issue. He seems to have a lot of support, and I think he's not that bad of a campaigner. All of us elitists in the media may think he's crazy and stuff, but you get him down at that grassroots level, and he connects with a lot of people, believe it or not.
There you go. It's Jeff Bohr, and you can catch him, of course, in Land Yap, Yellowhammer News, Breitbart, and on the Jeff Bohr Show, WVNN in Huntsville. As always, man, we appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Appreciate it. Kane, 8837 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Good morning, buddy.
Got some great deals at McConnell right now on trucks and SUVs. Tell me, what's the hottest thing on the lot right now?
You know, Dalton, I think the hottest thing on the lot is probably going to be our new truck, and everybody's been seeing the ad, I think, on TV. If you watch TV, you've seen the ad about the tailgate and the jaws are dropping, and that truck has been so popular, and I think if people out there maybe driving a Ford, you're driving something like a Ram, those are great trucks. even the Chevy, but nothing else has this tailgate, Dalton. So the AT4, we got it supplier price. The regular Sierra, some of them we have up to 20% off. And I think, Dalton, what you and I talked about off air that we're most proud of is just kind of the McConnell experience. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have told us, you know, over the last 60-something years my family's been doing this, about how bad it is to buy a car, and we kind of get it. And, you know, what we try to do is surprise people with just the opposite experience of that high-pressure, disappointing experience. So if you're out there listening, you had a bad, you know, deal shopping for a vehicle somewhere else, give us a shot, because we feel like Dalton and McConnell is kind of the way that people want to be treated, buddy.
Yeah, a lot of people get that anxiety before they head out to the car lot. You don't experience that with McConnell Automotive. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a great day.
And y'all have a great Wednesday, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see him in person on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 838 FM Talk 106.5, phone number 343-0106. Also works for the text line. Good to hear Jeff say that. It's interesting. Jeff has kind of put his own take on why people... He's now in Huntsville, right? And he has the challenge of doing talk radio there, of trying to explain to people in Huntsville why they should care about this toll issue here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting because, I mean, we're kind of also laser focused with blinders on how it applies to us directly. Jeff has got to think about that. Jeff has got to tell somebody in Huntsville why they should care if people down here are paying the toll. And this idea, and I don't think he made this up out of whole cloth. I think it's a valid discussion because you've seen it elsewhere. These P3s have popped up around the country. And if it works here in Alabama, why wouldn't, you know, the state move to more of these so they don't have to slap leather for money? I mean, they've got some prisons to start paying for. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to, they're not going to want to pay for road work. So kudos to Jeff on that, pointing that out to people up there. Here at home, we put that in the basket of things that we're concerned about with the toll process. But I will, and then Jeff defending Chris Elliott. I don't want to go through all the posts on the Facebook page. If you disagree with State Senator Chris Elliott or one of these plans on the reason of fact, I think there's a debate to be had there. And some people have said, I've seen people say, we shouldn't talk about any kind of yes to tolls, any kind of measure, because that encourages them with tolls. Hey, that's a valid debate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a valid, solid debate. But to say, if anybody has an opinion different than yours, they're being paid off. First of all, listen, Lord knows we're corrupt in Alabama, but it's often, except in the case of Hubbard, not as simplistic as that. And just because somebody has an opinion that's different from yours doesn't mean they're getting paid off, okay? That's number one. I'm sorry, but I mean, sometimes it is, but not every person in Montgomery is getting paid off or they'd have a better suit on. number two, this idea that it is bad that he is planning for the eventuality for the possibility of there being a toll imposed. You do that in business. And this is not this is defending this idea. It's not defending Chris Elliott. It's defending this idea. In business, I got a plan for what happens if and what happens if.
Mm-hmm.
Lord knows, we just went through one of those with the transmitter here, right? So you got a plan. What happened? No, hopefully it doesn't happen.
Right, but you need a plan B and a plan C.
That's not some communist plot. That is what you do with contingencies. I mean, it's so and if you say, well, there's, you know, we'll find it and oppose it and we'll win. I hope we do. I hope we do win, in keeping from having a toll. But look at the gas tax. Look at other things that have happened. Sometimes we lose. So what do you do then? And even though it's an end around, and you got to do this and you got to do the other thing, and Jeff points out, rightly enough, that you got to pry the Go Mesa money away that's coming. The only way Go Mesa money is coming to the state is through Mobile County. I don't even think, I mean, all deference to you, Baldwin County, I don't know that there are any actual physical pipeline landings. There may be, somebody can correct me, but I don't think there are any physical pipeline landings for oil or natural gas into Baldwin County. I think the entirety comes through Mobile County, but I can tell you right now, it doesn't come through anywhere else other than Mobile and Baldwin County.
Mm-hmm.
Now it could run north of there, but it doesn't get to land anywhere other than Mobile and Baldwin County. And just like the BP money, my argument was the state's lawsuit against BP for the sales tax that they did not realize, the 6% state sales tax they did not realize during the oil spill, could only be realized because Mobile and Baldwin County suffered. So the case is, to me, very logical, even taking myself out of my South Alabama Homer shoes for a second. Look at that. The case is very logical that more of the money and the say-so about that money should lie with the people here. I mean, the same thing. Can I claim revenue from something that happens on the Tennessee River down here? No. Okay. And so, so in this case, I think we have a logical place to stand on in this argument. But we get beaten by the rest of the state. I would say the job of the local delegation, I don't care what party, is to work with legislators from elsewhere in the state to figure out what they need. This is how the game's played. If you have this simplistic look of just everything's idealistic, that's cute. But the way the game is played, you've got to build coalitions, and you got to find out what somebody elsewhere wants to get them to work with us on something like this. So, yes, I do agree with Jeff that prying the Gomesa money away from the rest of the state is going to be tough. But if you can, the end around that has a net impact of zero on somebody paying tolls, businesses, individuals paying tolls, is at least a good contingency plan. The number one plan, and I'll continue with the number one plan, that is something that Jim Ziegler's pushed, and of course, Dr. Lou Campominosi has pushed, and Kevin Spriggs, and a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of y'all, have pushed this no toll. I'm with you. But at the same time, just because you come up with a plan B doesn't mean you want plan A to fail. It means you are at least covering your bases. And that's and so if you want to debate the factual part of it, have at it. That's good. That's healthy. That's what makes us a great nation. But to see, like in the world of social media, that if anybody has an opinion different, they allege some unprovable fact, and then they just sit back in front of their computer and continue to eat Cheetos and get those crumbs all over the keyboard.
Well, what's the saying? You know, expect the best and plan for the worst.
Correct.
That's what these backup plans are. And as far as the people that are saying, well, someone's got to be getting paid off.
Oh, whether somebody it's is getting paid off, but I don't think it's a, I don't think it's like they're not handing bags of money to members of the legislature. It's not happening that way.
No, probably not that clearly. But, you know, sometimes the easiest answer is the best answer. And the easiest
Occam's razor, huh?
Right. When people down here are saying and seeing the news, okay, they're going with the $6 toll. If I pay $90 a month, that's going to be $1,080 a year for each vehicle we have. So people want answers. They're saying, why am I paying $1,080 a year now to cross the bay just because I want to get there within an hour? I don't want to have to wait up there. And the easiest answer, unless you want to plow through all of these news stories that are coming out day after day, and even if you do that, you're not going to get a 100% answer for why exactly this is happening. The easiest answer is, well, someone out there is making a little extra money off this in their back pocket.
Well, the private concessionaire absolutely is.
Yeah.
And those are the people everybody, you know, is talking about distrust for them. Private business, I get that part of it. They're supposed to make a profit. That's why they exist. It is why government agrees to things. And it's not always, you'd say, you know, oh, they're getting paid off. Bags of money are being delivered. Maybe it's the fact that the state of Alabama looks at this and says, you know, if this is successful down here and we can use it elsewhere, there's money we don't have to spend out of the state coffers we can spend elsewhere. Maybe that's your big bag of money.
I think the reason that so many people are really upset about this is because we've seen roads all across the state, all across the nation being built using federal and state money and not being made into toll roads. And with the recent P3s popping up all over the country. I know they mostly started up in the Northeast building these private-public partnerships, and now it's making its way west and down to us. It just seems like, you know, we wanted this bridge for the last 25 years, and we had all this time, and when it finally comes time to build the bridge, they say, oh, we're doing a private-public partnership.
Absolutely. Remember, I mean, I've gone through this 100 times. I'll continue to do it. This is a subject that we've been talking about for the entirety of FM Talk 106.5, which, by the way, in our 10th year, happy birthday, yes.
Heck yeah.
We've been talking about it at some level. Back then, it was environmental impact statements and some of the different things that were going on. But it was discussed from that time forward until just in the last year and a half as a 80-20 split. And I remember worrying back then, talking about it on the air, saying, we better get our ducks in a row if we're going to come up with 20. Back then, it was an $800 million project, and I went ahead and plussed it up to $1 billion because I watched government projects over time.
You were cynical, but not cynical enough.
I was naive. But because then we were just talking about the bridge, and we weren't thinking about the Bayway. But as a $1 billion project, I said, hey, we're going to have to come up even. I could do math back then, so we're going to have to come up with $200 million. How are we going to do that? And then people are like, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. Now we're looking at 7% federal funding, and don't be fooled by all the headlines this week. The money that Senator Shelby acquired, the $125 million, that's the money we've been talking about the whole time. That's not new and additional. That's the money we've talked about the whole time, making up the 7% of federal money on this. So we've gone from 80-20 to 93-7. The state realizes they don't have the money. Because LDOT's still on for, I think it was 14 to 16%. So you had like 7% federal, 14 to 16% state, and then the private concessionaire with the rest. They said, oh, well, these people got the money. They can do it. They can, but do we want that? And just because we've been asking for the bridge for a long time, were we asking for the bridge that meant tolling the Wallace Tunnel? Were we asking for the bridge that meant $2.1 billion or up in cost? Were we wanting a bridge that cost us $6 either way or more with commercial vehicles to go back and forth across the bay? I don't think so. So and that's where it stands. So to just say it's as simple as everybody in Montgomery is getting handed over bags of money, and it's they're all like a boss hog under a 40-watt bulb smoking cigars in the back room. It's a naive way to look at things, in my opinion. Let's go to the phones, and first up, we'll go to Mike in Point Clear. Hey, Mike.
I'm loving this debate. I think we're biting at the tail of the snake. This starts at the federal level at H.R. House Resolution 22, FAST Act in 2015.
The non-earmarking?
Well, it was about tolling federal roads, giving states permission to toll federal roads, because you're looking at all federal roads. That was Rodney Davis. He was a Republican from Illinois
y'all hear what Mike's saying.
Bill, and Mo Brooks was one of the co-sponsors.
Well, and this idea of having privatization of roads has been a thing amongst libertarians for a long time. But at the same time, it's good that you're saying this, because people say, well, there's no precedent set for tolling federal interstates. But actually, I had to go do the research months ago, and unfortunately,
yeah,
there is.
Yeah. And you can look in the tolling section 1411, and it has all the stuff about tolling in there. And like I said, and Mo Brooks, I'm a fan of Mo Brooks, but this was, 114 Republicans and 4 Democrats, so it's squarely in their lap. And then you have the House Bill 154 that was done in March. This is State House Bill 154, March 2019, and Dalton can do the research. And that was establishing the tolling authority.
Well, okay, so the nuance on that one, interesting, I looked into it. So it was 154 was to amend a previous law in the state of Alabama that had already green-lighted tolling in the state of Alabama. That had happened six or seven years ago, Mike. And
what, oh, really?
Yeah, so that Senate bill just would, that Senate bill was to amend the law to, I think, allow the deduction of tolls from taxes or something to that effect. So it was already the law in the state. And so while people said, yeah, Chris Elliott voted on a bill that would make it okay to toll, that bill actually existed. And he was once again in like a contingency mode saying, well, if this is the law, how can we make this not as bad? It's not better, just not as bad.
Well, I think this is going to be something that creeps in nationwide on all federal roads, and we're going to be taxed for traveling.
Yep.
So it's going to
be already taxed for traveling.
Section that crosses the Mississippi River or whatever the case is.
Hey, man, we're already, and that's the point too, that people like me throw up our hands. We're already taxed. That's called federal taxes. We pay them. They're supposed to go to a lot of things, but in my definition of what the job of the federal government is, common defense and roadways, that fits pretty squarely in definition.
Well, Alabama was squarely for Donald Trump and for the Republicans. Maybe we're even more of a test case for some of the flyover district.
Well said. Well said. Appreciate your call, Mike. I got to jump here because our buddy Bill Riles from News 5 is holding on. He says, here it says, tolls. Got new information on tolls. Hey, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Sean. I tell you, well, not necessarily new information. I want to tell you something we've been exploring and reporting on, or about to report on, and that is that something that no one's talking about, and that is P3 projects fail. And I tell you where I come up with that. I was in the meeting the other day when Director Cooper was briefing the no-toll people who had showed up to the media briefing of the project last week at the ALDOT headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he said is that by virtue of the P3 project, the concessionaires assume all of the risk, all of the maintenance,
right,
all of that. You know, and
That was sold to us. They sold that to us back, I know, in January when I was talking to folks from ALDOT. They said, well, if we do this, they, you know, the ALDOT will not have to do, you know, it'll be paid for by the P3 to do the maintenance on it. I imagine ALDOT would like to get that contract to do the work, but...
Well, sure, yeah, and that is, I would believe, the plan. They would oversee that from what they say, but the implication is that the state and the government is off the hook, and that's just not the case. What happens is, and I'll give you a test case, it's not the only one across the nation, but the I-69 project, a segment of the I-69 project south of Indianapolis in Indiana, where I lived at one time, by the way, failed. It was a P3 project, and it failed disastrously. Of course, the state government had to come by, buy everybody out, and assume the project. So, you know, it's just one of those situations where, you know, be careful what you wish for, state government, because you're not off the hook. You think you are, but you're not.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, while I've said, listen, people were very surprised when they said, well, the law is saying that this P3 can affect your driver's license, yeah, keep you from getting a new, you know, license plate renewal or suspend your driver's license. I said, well, of course, if you're going to have a P3 partnership, they have to have some mechanism for clawback. But at the same time, I got to ask this question, Bill, where's the public sector's clawback? I mean, if this fails and they've already made interest on the money spent and the state has to come in and finish something, can the state go back and recoup all the money, including the interest?
Exactly. And we're in the process right now of just taking a look across the country to see what the viability of a project like this is. I have heard, and I have no basis in fact for it, but I have heard that this is not a terribly what you'd call attractive P3 project to a lot of companies. Now, some of the companies that are involved are foreign companies. We've heard a lot of people have been speculating that, well, they're, you know, the Arab companies, but that's not. The two of the companies are Spanish companies.
And they're Australian?
And the other company is based in Texas for the most part.
I hate to do this, but I am up against the end of the hour and have yet to go to the news break. Bill, maybe you'll come back on the midday show soon with me and talk more about this.
Oh, absolutely. We sure will.
There you go. My buddy Bill Riles from News 5, and we're going to be right back.